So that's not what we hope for this week. We're going to start with, so this week we are on still on our three simple Wesley rules. So for those of you who don't know, there are three rules that the founder of Methodism had for what it meant to be a member of the Methodist Society. Remember, it wasn't always a church. It was oftentimes just small groups that met together and wanted to work out how it is that they could follow Jesus faithfully in England at the time, and now all over the world. And he said, so if you're going to be in this group, you got to do three things. And oftentimes that may sound really scary. But the three things are this: do no harm, do good, and attend to the ordinances of God. Nowadays we call it stay in love with God. So we're going to start with the second one, to do good. And to do that, I'm going to talk to you about a message from the book of James. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. Again, that's James 2, 14 through 26. Feel free to follow along if you've brought your Bible from home or if you have Bible Gateway or anything on your phone. Feel free to follow along, but it's going to be on the screen. So hear now James's words to us this morning. What good is it, brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not our ancestor justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to completion by the works. Thus the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Now, this morning, some of you have heard that and you're like twitching, right? Because as good Protestants, we've been taught that everything is about faith, right? Maybe you've been a Lutheran before or something, and it's sola fide, faith alone, everything is about faith. People like the book of Romans, right? Because it talks about hammers on how important faith is. And I want you to hear, first of all, before you get mad and start writing letters to the DS, okay, that two things. One, this is in the Bible, I didn't make it up. Two, okay, that that saying that works are important does not take away the importance of why we do the works, right? So what James is saying here is that we can't focus on just what we say or what we think or what we believe, but that if we really believe something, if we really think something, then it's going to show up in the way that we treat others, right? Think about it this way. I can tell my wife that I love her until the cows come home, right? But if I don't ever show her that I love her, what's she going to think? That's right. So I'm going to get kicked out, right? Because there are things you must do to show someone that you love them, right? And I'm not talking just like flowers and candy and things like that, but attention and love and doing what they need, right? Helping to take care of their needs, choosing their good over your good, and all those things, right? If you say that you love your child, but then any time that they need you, you're not around, what's communicated is different, right? If a politician tells you that they care about you, but when you're struggling, they say, we can't really do anything about it. What's the message? Faith or beliefs without actions is dead, is what James says. And I think that this goes perfectly to why first is do no harm, right? You don't want to hurt people, because if we're hurting people, we can't tell them about Jesus, right? if you're beating somebody over the head and then you tell them, oh, but Jesus loves you, that's not going to communicate, right? But then if we're saying that we follow Christ, if we're saying that we follow the one who went from town to town and cast out demons and healed people, right? If we're talking about the one who saw the temple filled with money changers and he cast over the tables and said, this, it has to be a place of prayer, right? He took action when he saw things that were wrong or things that needed to be fixed. If we follow that Jesus, then we can't just be people of talk, right? And I'm sorry to tell you this, but it's not just you and Jesus, right? The individual gospel is not the gospel. It's us and Jesus, right? Jesus never went to one person and said, the only thing that matters is looking at me. Jesus had 12 of his inner circle and then a huge crowd that followed him around, right? Everything that Jesus does brings people back into community. Those people that had demons were excluded from society because of their rapid, strange mood swings, because they were dangerous, because they acted weird, right? Those people who had sicknesses like leprosy were excluded from society because they were sick and they were considered unclean. They couldn't go to the temple. They couldn't offer sacrifices, right? How about the woman caught in adultery? What were they going to do to her? They were going to kill her, right? That's the ultimate separation from society, right? And Jesus comes to each of these people and he offers them new life. He changes them. He heals them. He fixes the broken places. And he says, go and live differently, right? There's your faith and your actions, right? All put together. John Wesley said it this way. He said, if you're going to be in my club, it's maybe the wrong word about it, but if you're going to be one of these people that follows Jesus in this way, you have to do good. And that means to being in every kind merciful after their power as they have opportunity, doing good of every possible sort and as far as possible to all people, to people's bodies, of the ability which God gives, by giving food to the hungry, by clothing the naked, by visiting or helping them that are sick and in prison. What does that sound like? Anybody know? Anybody good at Bible drill? That's Matthew 25, right? Lord, when did we see you hungry or naked or in prison and visit you? Or when did we see you hungry or naked and not give you food and not give you clothes? Right? That's the separating of the sheep and the goats. Right? The ones that get in and the ones that are cast into the outer darkness. This is straight from the Bible. John Wesley says, if you're going to be a part of the kingdom of God, then you have to make your works fit your faith. And that means if people are hungry, you help feed them. That means if they're naked, you give them clothes. And you visit those that are sick or in prison. All of those folks are separated, right? You can't pay attention to what you need to do as a Christian if you're starving. It's really hard to go to church when you're locked up, right? And I don't just mean you're behind bars, right? I was just talking to Miss Ruby this morning, right? That you can feel imprisoned in your own home, right? Because of health, because of illness, because of COVID, right? There are times in which you don't have to have been arrested in order to be imprisoned. And so we have the opportunity as followers of Christ to visit and bless and bring healing and bring Jesus into the places where people are imprisoned. And it's not always going to be the jail down the street. That's important too. Then to their souls, he says, you've got to pay attention not just to their bodies, but their souls by instructing, reproving, or exhorting all we have any intercourse with, trampling underfoot enthusiastic doctrines that says we can't do good unless we're free to do it. No, we're free. We can do good anytime we want to. And then lastly, by supporting those that are in the household of faith. Right? It's important that we love those that are outside the church, that those are who are unbelievers, those who we don't know yet. But it's also of paramount importance that we support those who are in the body, right? We have to make sure that those that we know and we love are taken care of, not to the exclusion of others, but because they're our brothers and sisters. Amen? And so when we want to live and to do good, how is it that we can say, well, it's only about me, right? I don't have to worry about other people. Why? How many times have you heard somebody tell you, well, I got saved, so I don't have to worry about anything else? Right? Folks, I want to tell you, James would just fall over, right? Yeah. I think Jesus would fall over, right? Jesus wasn't going around telling everybody, hey, you've got to be saved, and then don't worry about anything, right? Jesus said, go and tell. Go and be new, right? Jesus took the disciples and he said, look, I'm leaving. What are you going to do? You're going to go forth into the world and you're going to baptize and you're going to teach and you're going to teach everyone to be disciples, right? To be followers of me. Even his closest disciples, he didn't say, hey, you did really good for 3 years, so you're good. Okay, you got your get out of hell free card. Don't worry about anything. No, Jesus said, you have a mission. Go forth into the world, right? Teaching them to obey all that I have taught you. And if you're wondering, you know, hey, well, maybe that's just the disciples, okay? Well, think about other times Jesus said some things. I already mentioned Matthew 25, right? Jesus is giving the parable of the sheep and the goats, and he says, whatever you did to who? The least of these, you did it to me. So the criteria there was not, did you believe in him? Because the ones who said, Lord, we don't know when we saw you hungry, but we gave you food, apparently. We didn't know when we saw you naked or in prison. When did we see you? If we had known, we would have acted differently. And then the others say, but Lord, we know you. We didn't see you hungry. We didn't see you naked. And the difference was some of them fed the hungry. Some of them took care of the needy. Some of them visited those who were in prison. That was the difference. And then think about Peter. That wonderful disciple who gets things right and then immediately messes up, right? Just like you and me. Peter, who has denied Jesus 3 times and has gone back to fishing, Jesus meets him on the shore and eats fish with him and tells him what? He asks him, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you. What does Jesus say? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I have faith in you. And he says, tend my lambs. And again, do you love me? Jesus is hammering this home, right? Then feed my sheep. What does it mean for us if Peter, to show his love for Christ, is his job is to tend the lambs and feed the sheep? How is it any different for you and me? The good news is it's not. Our job as Christians is not to do good deeds so that we can build up that thermometer like you're doing a fundraiser. You've seen those before, right? It's not to fill up the thermometer so that we know that we can get in. But instead, our job is to do good deeds, to bless others because we have been so richly blessed. Right? We are free to help. We are free to love. We get to do good deeds. We get to bless others because we have faith in Christ. That's a wonderful blessing. I want you to think back to my earlier observation about being married, right? Okay? Why do you do sweet things for your significant other? Huh? Because you love them. Not so that I don't end up in the doghouse, right? Okay? That's a good side effect, okay? But why do I want to do nice things for my wife or for my daughter? Because I love them. Because my life is better for having them in it, right? I woke up this morning, and our daughter likes to get up at 30, okay? Way before I want to get up, okay? And she's always in the living room doing something. Today she's drawing. I say, hey, what are you drawing, baby? I'm drawing a picture for Mama. Oh, that's very sweet. I'm drawing a picture for her because I want her to feel better about how the dog messed up one of her plants and this, that, and the other. Now, this is a small thing, but children often show us how it is that we should be living, right? Why was she drawing the picture for my wife? Because she loves her and because she knew that she was upset. She wanted to help. She wanted to bless her. Not so that Mama would give her a snack, not so that she could get ice cream, not so she could get a hug, but because she loves her. Because she knows that she's her mother. Right? Now, why do we do good deeds for Christ? Why do we do good deeds for God? Because we know that God is our Father. Because we know that Jesus is our brother. Because we know that we are part of the family of God and we have been so amazingly richly blessed. We want to do things that make God's eyes light up, right? We want to bless others because it gladdens the heart of the one who made us, right? What if we stopped worrying about who's got the right theology and who says, oh, well, this has to happen and then that has to happen, or how much water has to be thrown on somebody before they're baptized, or what church or when and all that kind of stuff? What if we just focused on the fact that we are redeemed and loved and blessed by a God who doesn't let us go? What if we focused on the fact that we have a wonderful job, and that job is to tend the sheep? That our job is to love others. Like we all of us adults, have jobs, right? If we're retired, we still have jobs, right? Cleaning up around the house, mowing the yard, whatever. But we have things that we do for money. That's different. I mean, we have vocations. We have a thing that we do because we are blessed from God. And so, now, please hear this. That vocation and that job can absolutely line up. And it doesn't matter that you may say, well, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a missionary, I'm not this. You get to bless others as a mechanic. You get to bless others mowing yards. You get to bless others as a teacher. You get to bless others making cakes or taking care of children. Whatever it is that you do, you have an opportunity to bless and to heal and to love in the name of Jesus Christ. We are all able to show our faith through our works. Not so that other people will say, oh, wow, Tim is really great. I bet you he's going to have a really nice house in heaven. Right? But so that they will feel closer to Christ. And so that, more importantly, Christ will be pleased with us. So go forth from this place today, ready to do good. Not out of a sense of obligation, not out of a fear of hell, not because you want to be better than somebody else, but just because your Father has given you so much and you want to share it. Because your brother has been so kind and so loving and has saved you, so you want to share that joy with others. Go forth, tend the lambs, feed the sheep. Amen?